Thanks for watching, everyone. For our latest Artemis Live video interview, I'm delighted to welcome Arthur Whiteman from PwC in Bermuda. So Arthur is the territory leader for PwC Bermuda, but he also leads markets and the insurance industry sector for the Caribbean region as well. And so he's got a very wide range of insights that he can share with us on his work in these key risk and capital markets. So welcome, Arthur. It's really good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Great to be here.
Really good to see you. So today with Arthur, we're going to talk about the Bermuda market, but also discuss climate change and what that means specifically for the local marketplace and globally as well for insurance, reinsurance and the ILS industry as well, of course. So to begin, Arthur, perhaps you could give our audience a bit of a status update on Bermuda's reinsurance and ILS marketplace at this early stage of 2023.
Well, of course, Steve, we've just come through the January 1st renewal season, and obviously everybody's now looking forward to the future renewal phases across the rest of the year. But you're essentially looking at a very hard Bermuda market. The reinsurance industry across the main domains that operate here in Bermuda are doing well. That the market is one of the hardest, particularly for sort of climate-related reinsurance risks that we've seen for a very long time. Many would say it's a necessary hard market. Many would say that the pricing is now finally getting to levels that are more appropriate for the risks that are being underwritten. We're all well aware of the impact of climate change, the increasing frequency and severity of catastrophe-related events in particular. And CEOs are very determined at the moment to ensure that as they're thinking about capital returns, return on equity, they are getting appropriate levels of returns for their shareholders relative to what we might have seen over the last decade or so. So a lot of that is featured in the underwriting renewals that have taken place. The important feature here, though, is that pricing holds over the long term to ensure that those returns are realized for the benefit of shareholders. And clearly, what we've seen a lot of in the last decade, particularly with the prominence of ILS, is that dampening down of the underwriting peaks and troughs, but particularly the peaks. And with a lot of capital coming into the market, we've seen some of that depression, which, again, has done nothing for the benefit of those returns for shareholders. So it's a strong market at the moment, but it's a market that everybody's focused on maintaining over the longer term.
Does it feel a bit different to you this time around? It certainly does to me. It feels like people are talking the right messaging at this point in time for holding these rates.
Absolutely. I think it does certainly feel like there's more permanency to the underwriting discussions. We're seeing a good deal of focus, not just on price, but on terms and conditions. Reinsurers are holding the line. And whilst we might see top line growth, we're actually seeing some contraction in the lines that are being put out there. So I think there is a shift, certainly, that we're observing now. For how long that lasts will remain to be seen. But I think it does feel a little bit more permanent than normal.
Great. So on to climate risk. Now, obviously, this remains a key focus at this point in time, Arthur, and perhaps you could explain how you think about the challenges of climate change for these various bits of the risk industries in Bermuda.
Yeah, thank you. I suppose I look at it from two standpoints. I look at it from the standpoint of the insurance and reinsurance companies themselves and how they're approaching their sustainability objectives as businesses. So from that standpoint, what are their ESG strategies? So that's somewhat on one side of the coin. On the other side, which is of course directly linked to that, is what is being done in terms of managing climate change from an underwriting perspective. So those are the two key but firmly interlinked elements that we're seeing reinsurance executives focused on at the moment. I think, again, as I mentioned, that there's just the huge volatility in how climate change is manifesting in terms of underwriting and the risks that are being underwritten. And so there's an enormous amount of effort being placed on gathering data, new data that certainly looks different from data 10 years ago, using technological techniques to better understand and price risk. Because if you think that the risk profile of natural catastrophes is manifestly changing, you're essentially hitting a moving target with underwriting at the moment. And that's something that is taking up a lot of focus, and particularly at a time when there is increasing pressure for, as I mentioned before, executives to be delivering appropriate capital returns to shareholders, and essentially solidifying the value, the long-term value proposition of reinsurance as a whole.
Yes, it's certainly a moving target, as you said. And I mean, the industry's faced a lot of those over the last couple of years with volatility and geopolitics also playing into that. But obviously, this is a risk industry, and there are clear opportunities, not least from the climate transition efforts and the huge investments being made, especially in economies such as the US. Do you feel the reinsurance and ILS industry are making enough of a deal about some of these opportunities to ensure that they can capture the opportunity?
I think it's a tricky times, Steve, to say the least. That there is no clear pathway to go from where we are today to a net zero environment. As you mentioned, there are clear geopolitical elements to these conversations. That there is no one pace that the world is moving at. So different markets are shifting at different times, and different rates rather. But I do see a market that is focused on trying to advance the right conversations around moving to a net zero environment and the role that the insurance industry can play in that. And we are starting to see grassroots in terms of risks that can be underwritten in order to better help that transition to a net zero environment. So I'd say it's still quite early days, Steve. I do think the insurers have a very clear seat at the table. They have had for obviously many years, given the role that they play with respect to managing climate change. But I do feel also that there is a lot more that could be done, and a lot more that could be done in terms of finding ways to essentially make money for shareholders as part of this transition to net zero.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the term sort of having a seat at the table, which is obviously critical in these sorts of discussions. And I guess that the insurance and reinsurance industry has actually done a very good job of making sure they're well positioned, but it's going to be incredibly important that they keep that seat at the table, I would say, because there are other industries also looking to position themselves in that way. Do you think this is going to be sort of one of the key trends for the next decade, the next 2 decades? Is it just an ongoing thing?
I think it is, given the global push towards achieving the climate ambitions and targets that have been set. It's a necessity for society that we achieve these targets, and clearly for an industry that is so firmly implanted in the middle of the subject matter, you would expect them to have a seat at the table and continue to advance the prominence and role that they play in all of this. I'd say what's interesting, as you know, Steve, PwC collects a lot of data around the world, and whilst I think that the insurance industry probably fares a little bit better because of the role that it currently plays, roughly about half of insurance companies have well advanced strategies around achieving net zero, but roughly a quarter of them, of all of the companies today, really have been able to put in place any measures to transition effectively to those levels. So you can see not just an industry that's trying to support a broader strategy, but it's an industry that's also trying to sort of get its own house in order along the way. And whilst it's doing well, I think on a relative basis, there's still a long road to cover.
And that brings us on nicely to one of my last questions I was going to ask you. What sort of requests for support are you receiving from insurance, reinsurance, and ILS markets on the topic of climate change? And how does PwC respond to assist the industry?
Yeah, there's a, I mean, there's no shortage of conversations that we're having. I'd say if I approach it sort of logically from a from an ESG strategy standpoint, one of the core areas that we're helping our clients in is around governance. Obviously, building trust through sustainable businesses is a core attribute of any business strategy long term. And so we're helping organizations think through their governance, the roles that their board plays, the role that executives play, how purpose fits and aligns with the ambitions of the various stakeholder groups, all of those sorts of things. We clearly are having lots and lots of conversations around the climate element, the environmental element of ESG, and again, what wide-ranging conversations are anywhere from how companies are underwriting and managing climate-related risks. How companies are thinking through their own investment portfolios, which is not an easy thing to do, and then ultimately how all of that fits within the overall structure of organizations. So looking at things like data, pricing, technology, analytics, all that sort of stuff. So a wide range of conversations. I suppose an area that probably all industries are struggling with at the moment is around climate-related disclosures. And obviously, there's some degree of sequencing in terms of what is being required of them and when. However, they are definitely anxious about the nature of some of the greenhouse gas disclosures that they ultimately will be required to make and how that they can fill those objectives. So everybody's focused on it, but there's a bit of ground to cover, I think, in terms of okay, how do they capture that data and ultimately report that data? So again, a lot of our work is on transparency of disclosure and reporting and then assurance over some of that reporting that they're making.
And I guess a big piece of that comes from the regulatory side of things as well, which must be keeping you busy too.
Definitely. So the SEC, of course, and then obviously some of the European regulations, they're both of equal prominence. I think that regulatory environment is an interesting one, as it always is. Naturally, we would like to see a lot more harmonization, commonality, single standards being adopted. At the moment, we definitely see a lot of regulators embracing the topic, and we would like to see a lot of them walking in tandem as opposed to developing their own strategies and thoughts.
Great. Thank you so much, Arthur. Thank you for sharing your insights into the subject of climate change and how you feel insurers, reinsurers, and the ILS market can respond and adapt to this. It's going to be a very interesting few years, I think. And obviously, companies like PwC are going to need to have a role at the heart of this to help the industry really to adapt. So great to talk to you today.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, really
thanks so
nice to
much
see you
for
again. Yeah.
thanks for sharing some thoughts with us.
Pleasure. Great. Look forward to seeing you next time in person. All the best.
Absolutely.